Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, the series in which we explore one aliyah per podcast of the current parasha. Host is sponsored by the Orthodox Union and hosted at OU.org. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. It's been my pleasure to study Parshat Bo with you. We are in the middle of the parasha in Perek Yod Bet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the fifth aliyah. We just finished reading Parashat HaChodesh, in which Bnei Yisrael were commanded to prepare, to offer, and to consume the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, and we were given several of the laws that would be perennial with Dorotechem. And now we hear Moshe's presentation of this, or at least some of Moshe's presentation of this, to Bnei Yisrael. So what did Moshe say to them? So he commands them to buy sheep for their families, and he tells them to offer up or to slaughter the Pesach. We have to assume, as per the Ramban's general directive, that Moshe told them all of the other halachot that we learned in the previous parasha, and that here we will hear things that we were not told in the previous parasha that Moshe was commanded, for instance, that which is in the next pasuk. Ulukachtem agudat ezov, you take a bundle of hyssop, that is the general understanding of what ezov is. Utvaltem badam asher basaf. Asaf is a cup. And so you're going to have the dam in a cup, you'll dip the hyssop in the dam, v'gatem ala mashkof v'yashtem ezuzot. And you'll put the dam on the lintel and on the two doorposts. Now, in the previous parasha, we were told that they were to put the dam on the door, but we were not told how they were to do so. And now we find out it's by dipping a bundle of hyssop into the blood and then putting it onto those places. We have to assume here that hyssop was something that was readily available to Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. It was not some sort of exotic herb. And none of you is allowed to leave your door until morning. We will look back at this when we finish reading the parasha, which is very short, and share an observation. God will pass through to kill, to plague Mitzrayim. He does not mention here about Bechor, not Bechor. And he'll see the blood. Ufasach Adonai ala patach, again, pasach maybe meaning to pass over, or maybe meaning to protect, pasach v'himlit. V'leitein ha-mashchit lavoa batechem l'ngof. And he will not allow the destroyer to come into your house. Now, we've had a third presentation of what Makat Bechorot is. As I mentioned earlier in the earlier podcast, in with the first presentation, God's presence in Mitzrayim will kill the Bechorot. In the second presentation, in Parshat HaChodesh, God will come through and kill the Bechorot. And in the third presentation, there's going to be some sort of a mashchit, some sort of a killer, and God will come and protect Bnei Yisrael from that mashchit. This is not a theology session. It's very difficult to explain or to understand how to resolve these three ideas, but Chazal do deal with this, and the Rishonim certainly do. Ushmartem et hadavar hazeh, l'chog l'cha uvanecha, ad olam. You should guard this word as a law for you and for your children forever. Again, we're being told that this is not going to be just a one-time offering, but a perennial offering. We're not told the details of what will be perennial, but that this offering will be kept for generations. V'haya kitavo el ha'aretz, ha'sheten adonai lachem kasher diber. When you come to the land that God is giving you, as he's already spoken, which, by the way, at this point, again, there's been no statement that we're leaving after this, just that when you come to the land that God has promised, which means at some point we're going to come to that land, ushmartem et ha'avodah hazot, maintain this worship, which we already were told you're going to keep perennially, and now we're told that it will only start when you come into the land, meaning later on, you will have this as a regular offering. It will start when you come into the land. And when your children ask you, what is this worship? This is the first of the what is commonly known as the four sons. We will talk about them in the seventh aliyah, where two of them show up, and how to put this all together. For right now, we'll read the psukim as is. V'amartem. So you should declare, when they ask you, what is this avodah? Zevach Pesach Hu L'Adonai. It is a Pesach offering to Hashem. Asher Pasach Abatei Bnei Yisrael, V'nokpot Mitzrayim V'Pateinu Yitzil. That he either passed over or protected Bnei Yisrael when he destroyed Mitzrayim. So now we're getting a resolution of some of the difficulties in destroying and protecting. It is Hashem who is destroying and Hashem who is protecting, or just omitting and passing over. V'Pateinu Yitzil. And our house is he saved. Now notice, our house is he saved, which means Moshe is already telling Bnei Yisrael what's going to happen that night, and therefore what they should tell their children and future generations, and he's presenting it into the past, in the past tense, as if it's already happened, even though it's going to happen in a few nights. What's the people's reaction when they hear Moshe's command? They bow down, and they give praise. They acknowledge, and they bow down. And then they went. They did kasher tzivah the night Moshe v'Aaron ken asu. Just as Hashem commanded Moshe and Aharon. Now notice, Moshe is the one speaking to Bnei Yisrael, which means some of that concern that we saw earlier, that Moshe isn't comfortable speaking to Bnei Yisrael, now for the first time he directly addresses them. But this is a command that was given to Moshe and Aharon, as we saw at the beginning of Perek Yudbet, and they went ahead and they did that. A very short aliyah. And as I mentioned in this comment, we'll take a look at something about the hyssop and the blood going on the doorpost, but most notably about the people not being allowed to leave until morning. Rav Amnon Bazak, in an article written in, a number of years ago, made a very interesting observation about the Korban Pesach. And so we refer to it as a Korban Pesach, and yet it has none of the nuances of a Korban. A Korban is brought in one centralized location. Here, the korban is brought in every house. A korban has blood that goes onto the mizbeach, so there's no mizbeach. But most significantly, a korban is something in which at least some of it is offered up to God, and either and that is what we call eaten by the mizbeach, devoured by the mizbeach, and in some cases the people eat some in shlamim, in some cases they don't, like an olah. Here you have an animal which is per household, where there is no mizbeach, where the officiants, by the way, in every other officiant, korban, you have the kohanim as officiants here, it's every household, and where here the mizbeach devours nothing. There's no mizbeach. You slaughter the animal, you put the dam on the mezuzot and on the mashkof, and then you eat it all up, and whatever you don't eat up, you have to destroy in the morning. You have to destroy. So he explains as follows. He says that, and this is a very, very short version of a brilliant article, and I highly recommend accessing it on the, I believe it's available on Yeshivat Har Etzion's virtual Beit Midrash archives. I believe it's available also in English. Is he points out that in the ancient world, and we find this in Tanakh, there was a notion of sacred space in which you could be safe from a threat. And so, for instance, the Torah in Parshat Mishpatim, and we'll look at this in 3 weeks, mentions that a person who kills someone, me'im mizbachi tikachen lamut, you take him away from my mizbeach in order to execute him. What's the idea? The idea is that when somebody kills, they can go and grab onto the mizbeach, and by doing so, get some sort of what we call sanctuary and not be touchable. The answer is, in that case, he is not safe. We see this in practice in Malachim Aleph, when Adoniyahu has violated his position as no longer the crown prince, and Shlomo sends to have him killed, he goes and grabs onto the horns of the Mizbeach. Same thing with Yoav, grabs onto the horns of the Mizbeach. What's the idea of grabbing onto the horns of his bath? The idea is that you can't kill me while I'm here. I'm safe. I'm protected. So what's the problem? And again, this is a very, very short version of a much longer and beautiful piece. There is a makat b'chorot that's going to happen tonight. Everybody's going to die. And therefore, in order to save Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates sacred space, sanctuary where they will be. And that is by making each house, as it were, a mizbeach. And so since the house is a mizbeach, the blood then goes on the door of the mizbeach, on the door, which is the Karnot HaMizbeach, as it were. That's why Rav Yosef, as I mentioned in the last podcast, Rav Yosef in Masechet Pesachim says every house among Bnei Israel had three Mizbachot, the two doorposts and the lintel. That is why it is devoured by the people there. The people become both Kohanim, but they become the Mizbeach also. And that is why you're not allowed to leave till morning, because if you step outside, you're no longer protected. You're no longer in sacred space. Again, far more is written there, and I highly recommend getting a hold of it and reading it, but that's not for this forum. In the meantime, we'll pause at this point and pick it up with Shishi, with the sixth Aliyah in the next podcast. And in the meantime, wish everyone a wonderful day.